Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Appreciate that.
Hey, let's do it. Get your Bibles. Get your Bibles. Turn to Genesis. Genesis. Chapter 49. Genesis. Thank you. You're excited. I'm excited. Let's go. Let's go. Thank you. Appreciate it. Okay. Justin Daniel, good to see you, my friend. All right, here we go. Have a seat. Have a seat. Let's attack this chapel service with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind. All right, here we go. Genesis chapter 49. Genesis chapter 49. I'm excited. Let's do it. All right, people just... Good. Okay, so, turn this thing off, all right. Genesis 49 in your Bible, please. Genesis 49 in your Bible. You get to Genesis 49, you're going to see that this is what Bible scholars call the judgment seat of Jacob. The judgment seat of Jacob. Jacob has gathered his sons around him. He's passing away. And he goes to each son. And he speaks a word of prophecy over each son. He literally tells them what their future is going to hold. Genesis 49, look if you would at the very first verse. The Bible says, "And Jacob called unto his sons and said, gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days." So again, it's a very sobering scene. I've only ever been with two people in their dying moments. It's a sobering scene. I've never had somebody look at me and say, "Let me tell you what's going to happen to you in the last days." That's never. This is a sobering scene. He goes on, and if you look at verse number 3, he says, gather yourselves, verse number 2, gather yourselves together and hear, ye sons of Jacob, hearken unto Israel your father. And then he names them son by son. Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might, the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity, the excellency of power. Unstable as water, Reuben, thou shalt not excel. Then he says about Simeon and Levi are brethren, instruments of cruelty. Cursed be their anger in verse number 7. He goes on and he names each son. We can do a Bible study on how these 12 tribes kind of fulfilled the prophecy, because they did. But I'm interested in one tribe this morning, and that is in verse number 20. Jacob says about the tribe of Asher. He says, out of Asher, his bread shall be fat. He shall yield royal dainties. I did a study on the 12 tribes, and honestly, I started with the tribe of Judah because I was naturally interested. And so I started on the tribe of Judah, and I worked my way through. But when I got to the tribe of Asher, and as I traced it through the Old Testament, I was riveted at the study. It's fascinating. I'm going to give it to you briefly. We'll do our best to preach. Let's pray and get God in on this. And Lord, would you help the service? And God, just help me not to say anything that just doesn't need to be said and get the point across. And I am excited to preach because it's a powerful truth. Your word is powerful. God, I pray you just use me as a vessel this morning here on this second, third day of class to inspire some young men and some young women just to do something great for the kingdom of God in these last days. Help all of us, Lord, to learn from this tribe of Asher and to learn from the hero of the tribe. We'll thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Tribe of Asher. Again, we could trace it through the Old Testament. We could do a pretty thorough Bible study and learn a lot about this tribe. I want to give you a handful of things that I saw about the tribe. First of all, we see in the 20th verse of Genesis 49 that the tribe of Asher, her bread shall be fat and he shall yield royal dainties. First thing I want you to notice is that the tribe of Asher is a wealthy tribe. Fat bread. There's a joke in there somewhere. I just haven't pinpointed it. But fat bread, royal dainties. A wealthy tribe. By the way, you say, Brother Judah, why are we going over the tribe of Asher? Because of all the tribes, I see us in this tribe. I see modern day Christianity, Christians in America, especially, even those of us in this room, in the tribe of Asher. Number one, a wealthy tribe. And God has certainly blessed us here in America with unbelievable wealth. I'm not a missionary. I've not been to many fields, just a handful in my lifetime. But every time I've left the borders of America, it has dawned on me. God has been good to us. We have nothing to complain about. Hey, he's been nothing but good. The truth of the matter is we have incredible wealth. Not only was Asher a wealthy tribe, but if you turn over to Deuteronomy chapter number 33. Turn over there real quick. We'll just do this quickly. Deuteronomy chapter number 33. And if you would, look in verse number 24. Everybody turn in the Bible, looking at it. Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse number 24. Just like Jacob gave a prophecy to the tribe of Asher, Moses gave a prophecy to the tribe of Asher. And he said this about them. He said, and of Asher, he said, let Asher be blessed with children. Asher is a wealthy tribe. Not only that, Asher is a blessed tribe, numerically. One of the larger tribes. When Asher settled in, they had 53,400 men only. They were a large tribe, a blessed tribe. He goes on to say in verse number 24, let him be acceptable to his brethren. Now that's an interesting characteristic. This tribe of Asher, this wealthy tribe, this numeric blessed tribe, acceptable to his brethren. I'm not going to do the Bible study right now, though I could. There is a lot of conflict between the sons of Leah, the sons of Rachel, lots of conflict there. But Asher was acceptable, meaning this. Asher had the unique ability of all the tribes to fit in any situation. Have you ever met somebody like that? They could be accepted by anybody. They could fit in anywhere. You say, hey, Brother Jude, I think you're stretching the scripture a little bit. I'm absolutely not. Do your own study and see how the children of Israel and the tribe, see how they would camp. And notice where God places the tribe of Asher. And you'll see that they were an acceptable tribe, able to fit in under any circumstance. Hey, let me put it to you like this. Asher had the ability to not make any waves. You ever known somebody like, there are some men, they're lightning rods. Everywhere they go, a fight breaks out. And there's others, they could fit in anywhere. That was Asher. Asher was wealthy. Asher was blessed. Asher could fit in anywhere. Fat bread, acceptable. One more thing in Deuteronomy 33, you're there. The Bible says in verse 25, thy shoes shall be iron and brass. And this is an interesting thing. And as thy days, so shall thy strength be. At first you think that's just pretty flowery language saying, you know what? Asher, as long as you live, God's going to give you strength. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. But that's not what that's saying. What that is saying is this. Not as long as you live, but as you live, you'll have strength. In other words, Moses said to Asher, Asher, do right and you'll have strength. Live right as thy days, so shall thy strength be. Live right and you'll have strength. Do right, and you'll have strength. Follow the law, and you'll have strength. But don't live right. Kind of New Testament, you'll reap what you sow. And don't do right, and you won't find strength. And don't live right, you won't. And so he says, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. We see that Asher is blessed, and a number of them, we see that they're accepted. Matter of fact, I believe that they were so blessed that they kind of became enamored with the blessings of God and forgot about the God of the blessing. You ever been that way? That was Asher. They've just sort of settled in. Turn over to Judges chapter number 1. We'll see something else about this tribe. We've got to move quickly. But Judges chapter number 1, just as we trace them through the Bible. I love to hear those pages turn. Judges chapter number 1. We see that as the children of Israel were driving the enemy out of their land, the Canaanite, the Bible said, verse 27, neither did Manasseh drive out the inhabitants of Bethshean and her towns. And it says at the end of 27, but the Canaanites would dwell in that land. Look at verse 29, neither did Ephraim drive out the Canaanites that dwelt in Gezer, but the Canaanites dwelt in Gezer among them. The Bible says in verse number 30, neither did Zebulun drive out the inhabitants. Look at, but the Canaanites dwelt among them and became tributaries. Look at verse number 31, neither did Asher drive out the inhabitants. Look at verse 32, but the Asherites dwelt among the Canaanites. Now don't lose me here, because the next point that I want to pull out about this tribe is this. Not only are they wealthy, not only are they blessed, not only have they gained the ability to just fit in wherever they were, but watch this, they were a little too worldly. In every situation that the Canaanites dwelt among the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites dwelt among the inhabitants of the land. But with Asher, the Bible says that the Asherites dwelt among the Canaanites. They were a little too worldly. And then we see one more picture in chapter number 5 of the book of Judges. When the time came to fight and Israel needed some warriors, chapter number 5, look if you would, in verse number 17. The Bible says, Gilead abode beyond Jordan, and why did Dan remain in the ships? Asher continued on the seashore and abode in his breeches. The full picture of this tribe, and we could have spent the whole hour studying the tribe. But I said they're a picture of you and I today. And the full picture of the tribe is this: they are blessed beyond measure. They are enjoying the goodness of God. They are many. They have settled in. They can fit in anywhere. They've become comfortable. They're probably a little too worldly. They knew all the songs. They knew all the fashions. They used all the slang of the Canaanites. They were a little too worldly. And the truth of the matter is, when it came time to pick up a sword and when it came time to fight, there were none out of the tribe of Asher willing to step up. There were none willing to pick up the sword. The Bible says they abode in their breaches. Sounds a lot like the condition of our world today. Here they are, good people, and they were good people, wealthy people, worldly people, comfortable people, and watch this, they are diminishing people. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. But whatever happened to Brother Judah, to the tribe of Asher? Here's what you'll find. Study the tribe. You will find this, and it is fascinating to me. In 4,000 years of Old Testament history, there's nobody. Hey, not a hero, not a villain, not a king, not a prophet, not a priest. I mean, in all the Old Testament stories, there's not a good guy, there's not a bad guy. Out of all the characters that emerge from the pages of Holy Scripture, of all the circumstances when God called on people, you'll find somebody that did something from every tribe, but not the tribe of Asher. They lived and died and just faded away in relative obscurity. Not one notable person, not one member of this blessed tribe that ever stood out or did anything for the glory of God. They were just comfortable. They had just settled in. They had just enjoyed the blessings of God. They got a little too close to the world, and they lived and they died and they didn't do anything. Not one character, nobody, until you get to Luke. Take your Bible and turn, if you would, please, to Luke chapter number 2. And we'll spend the next few minutes there. Man, this is a nugget in the scripture that I'm excited about. Luke chapter number 2. For 4,000 years, the tribe of Asher has marched on in obscurity. They have become an ailing tribe. Hey, when Israel needed somebody, Asher was a disappointment. They never provided a single helper, a single person, a single warrior that did anything of note. They were a disappointment. And you know what? Hey, the problem today is not that there are not enough Christians. There's plenty of Christians to turn this world upside down. The problem today is not that God has lost his power or this book is not true. Brother, this book is true, and God's as powerful today as he's ever been, and there's plenty of people. You know what I believe? There's plenty of people in this room to turn the world upside down. But we're comfortable and we're wealthy and we're worldly and we fit in and we're content to just sit by, you know, kind of live each day as it comes and whatever. And we will live and we will die and we will disappear in the pages of history, forgotten. Not one person that did anything of note. Man, I don't want that to be me, but it was Asher, until you get to Luke chapter number 2. Look what the Bible says in the 36th verse. Man, I like this. The Bible says, and there was one. You see that? And there was one. God, give us one today. God, give us one at Hiles Anderson. God, give us one in America. God, give us one right here. And there was one. Anna wasn't even a man. Hey, watch this. Hey, ladies, if the men don't want to step up, you step up. There ain't nothing wrong with that. And there was one, Anna, a prophetess, daughter of Phanuel. Notice what it said, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. She was a widow of about 84 years, departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Israel. The Bible says that there weren't many. Frankly, there weren't any from the tribe of Asher, but there was one. There was one, Anna. And you know what, my friend? There aren't many in America stepping up today. There aren't many in pulpits stepping up today. There aren't many getting the job done today. But the truth of the matter is, there could still be one. There could still be one. And I challenge you today, are you going to be the one that does something for God? Are you going to be the one that's notable? Are you going to be the one that's recognized, not for you, but for God? There may not be many at Hiles Anderson, but I have to believe in this crowd, God's tapping on somebody's shoulder. There can be one. There may not be many from your youth group, but there can be one. There may not be many from your Christian school friend, but there could be one that does something for God. God is still looking for one. He's always been looking for one, and he's still looking for one. And if those around you aren't going to do it, you can do it. I challenge you, will you be the one? Anna was the one. There was one. The Bible says, from the tribe of Asher, after 4,000 years of nothing, there was one who decided, you know what? I'm not going to live and die in obscurity. I'm not going to live and fade off, and hey, I'm not going to just settle in and get comfortable and be worldly and never make a difference at all and disappear from the pages of Scripture. I believe God let us know in Luke chapter number 2, as bad as it may be, there could still be one that does something for the Lord. What does it take to be the one? I want to give you four things from Anna's life, and we're going to be done. Number one, if you're going to be the one, you'll do so in a difficult time. You'll do so in a difficult time. Let me tell you something. You know what? Today is a difficult time. It is a difficult time. We live in a dark day, no doubt about it. Good being called evil, evil being called good, politics all messed up, the religious world all backwards and worldly and comfortable. And look, we are living in a difficult time. It seems like people don't want to listen to the gospel on occasion and becoming increasingly more secular and mocking even the preaching of the word of God. It is a difficult time. And if you're not careful, you may think, you know what? It's impossible to get it done today. Hey, tell it to Anna. She was in a difficult time. She was in a dark day. You ever hear of Herod? He was a baby killer. He was a political mess. Let me tell you about the religious crowd of Anna's day. Jesus called them a bunch of vipers. He said, you're a generation of vipers. The truth of the matter is, in Anna's day, the politics were bad. The religious crowd was fake and phony. The religious people were jaded, but some would say that they couldn't serve the Lord, but Anna was one. And my friend, today, even though it's dark, even though it's difficult, you can still be one, but you'll have to do it in a dark day. And I'm not here to say, man, it's going to be easy and it's all roses. It's not. You're going to have to decide today, I'm going to do something for God and I'll do it through difficulty. Number two, you'll do it in a dark day, but number two, if you're going to be the one, not only will you do it in a difficult time, you'll do it through some deep sorrow. Notice what the Bible says about Anna in verse number 37. The Bible says she was a widow of about 84 years. I don't know how old Anna was. I have no idea. Some think she was 84, some think she was 106. That's not important. What's important is this. For a long time, hey, look what the Bible says. The Bible says in verse 37 or verse number 36, she lived with a husband for 7 years from her virginity. And then after 7 years from her virginity, she was a widow of about 84. Hey, pay attention. 7 years, she lived with her knight in shining armor. 7 years, man, life was good. 7 years, I mean, you know, and then he was gone. I've seen in recent days what it's like when somebody who's been married loses their spouse. Friend, it's, I don't care how strong of a Christian you are, it's difficult. And if I read my Bible correctly, she got to enjoy all of that, Brother Aaron, for 7 years. And then for over 80 years, she was alone. She lived with that pain in her heart. For 80 years, she remembered him and wept over him and wondered what it would have been like maybe to have some children, wondered what it would have been like if they could have had a home together longer than just the 7 short years that she had. And she lived with that every day. I don't think it ever goes away. It never went away for her. And here's what she did. I'll tell you what she did. Life came at her. It hit her hard. And so she just decided to do what so many do when that happened. She just quit. She just gave up. She just turned back. Man, no, she didn't at all. She was one. She stayed faithful to God in difficult circumstances, in deep sorrow. Friend, I have no idea what you're going through, and I have no idea what you're going to go through. I've got stories written down here. I could tell them all day long. You don't need a story today. What you need to know is that life isn't always going to be easy, and there may even be some deep sorrow in your life. It's our own pastor who lost a child. I think of Tim Rule, who saw his own mother get shot. I think of, and I'm not those men, but I know what it's like to watch your dad walk away. I know what it's like for him to be disappointed in your choice to go into the ministry. Those aren't easy things, and you're not going to have easy things. You may have some things that disappoint you, some deep sorrow that you have to carry. But my friend, if you're going to be the one, you just go ahead by the grace of God and carry it. Don't turn back from the will of God. Don't turn back from the word of God. You be the one. You be the one in deep sorrow. Deep sorrow. Anna was the one in a difficult time with deep sorrow. And I want you to see this. Daily service. Look at verse number 37. She was a widow of about 84 years. Look at this. Which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And it's one thing to come to the altar and to say, you know what, I'm going to be the one. It's another thing to leave the altar and to say every day, daily service. Do you see what it said? She was in the temple every day. She was on her knees every day. She was in the Word every day. The Bible even says in the next verse that she was a soul winner every day. The Bible says that she told everybody about Jesus every single day. And if you and I are going to make a difference, friend, if you and I are ever going to do anything notable, if you and I are ever going to do anything that can be written about for the glory of God, I'm going to tell you something. It's not about emotionalism. It's not about just making a decision. It's about saying every day, I'm going to find a place with God. Every day, God, give us some young people that are consistent. God, give us some young people that are disciplined enough to be in the Bible, to be in prayer, to be a witness every single day. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. She was the one, man. She's the hero of the tribe of Asher. She did it in difficult times. She did it with deep sorrow. She did it with daily service. And I apologize. This isn't homiletically correct. I don't have a D, all right? This is not alliterated. I just have this. In verse number 38, and she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Israel. Number 4, she got to see Jesus. Out of all of those that had waited, all of those that had heard. You know what? There's some folks here in this room, and the truth of the matter is, I say some, but the reality is probably most. You're good to just hear about them. You'll teach a class someday, just send the curriculum, and you'll be good. You'll never see him. You'll never touch him for yourself. You think about Anna, man, she got to hold the lovely Lord Jesus. She got to see him for herself. She wasn't content to just hear about him. She got to see him. Some of us have just settled in to just hear stories, to just whatever, but not me. I want to be the one. I want to know the Lord. I want to get close to the Lord. I know that my physical eyes will never see him, but my friend, there have been times in my life where it's like he was right next to me, right in the room. Man, I want to be the one that knows the Lord through experience, friend. She got to see Jesus. I was preaching in Arizona with Pastor Joe Brown, and man, God had blessed the service in a tremendous way. Afterwards, we went to the hotel, and we were talking. It was just him and I. And he said, hey, can I come over to your room and talk? I said, absolutely. We sat down in the room. He's a friend of mine. We sat down in the room. We were talking about the service, and God had worked in an obvious way. He said, Brother Abdel, can I ask you something strange? I said, sure, man. Just us. No, but I said, sure. Go ahead. He said, why is it? And by the way, this is what he said. I do not think this is true, but this is what he said. He said, why is it that every time I'm with you, every time you preach, every time, he said, man, it just seems like it's different. Why is that? He said, I'm sure it's not every time, but every time. I said, it's not every time. He said, but every time that I'm with you, I just feel like God's working in a different way. He said, why is that? What do you do? And we sat there, and you can ask him. We sat there on a couch in the suite of our hotel room. I said, Joe, I don't know. I said, but maybe I could say this. It's all I've ever wanted. It's all I've ever wanted. It was never enough to just hear sermons. It was never enough to just preach sermons. It was never enough to just hear about answers to prayer. It was never enough to just maybe finish a Bible reading schedule. Joe, what you're describing, if I think I know what you're describing, I've wanted it from the moment God called me to preach. It's not enough to just hear about him. I want to see him. I want to get close to him. Man, and there's not many preachers that way. I understand that, but there could be one. And there's not many students that way, but there could be one. There are many colleges out there rolling like that, but there could be one teenager. Will you be the one today? Will you be the one? You say, man, it's not easy. I know, but Anna did it at a difficult time. You say, Brother Judah, you have no idea what I'm going through. She went through some deep sorrow. Let me encourage you, friend. If God's working in you right now, daily habits, I mean every day, commit yourself, discipline yourself, and I'll promise you, one day you'll stand up, and you know what? You'll touch him. You'll see him. He'll work through your messages, and your soul will. Winning. You won't just live and die and fade away, but maybe you'll do something of note in the kingdom of God. Maybe in the class of 2023, there aren't many in the room, but there can be one. Maybe here amongst your friends, there aren't many, but there can be one. Will you be the one? Anna was the one. Most of the tribe, all of the tribe as I study it, well, you can't name me one. He lived and died and faded away, content to exist. But there was one, and God gave us one. And he threw in there, hey, she's of the tribe of Asher. Just saying. There weren't many from that tribe, but there was one. My friends, on the opening days of Hiles Anderson College, we need one. Somewhere in California, they're looking for one. Somewhere in Texas, they're looking for one. Somewhere in Massachusetts, there needs to be one. Tomorrow in Chicago, there needs to be one. I know what many are going to do. They'll sit by and just kind of let the day come and go to the burrito shop and whatever and make their regular. But there needs to be one that does something notable. Might not be many. It won't be many, but there can be one. America, hey, America needs one. If I didn't believe that, you know what, Brother John? I honestly, if I didn't believe that God could do something with one, I don't think I'd be preaching. I think I'd find something else to do. So my challenge to you today, I'm nothing, okay? I'm nothing. But I came to this pulpit today and I want to be one. I want to be one. What about you? Would you bow your heads, please, and close your eyes? There was one. Hey, not too worldly. Come on now. Man, you want to get close to the world? You'll get close to the world, and the cost will be the power of God on your life. There was one. Not too worldly. Not just trying to fit in wherever. It was a lady. It was a lady, and I thank God for that. There wasn't a man, but there was a woman. Here at the college, I'm begging and praying for one. Just one. See, Brother Judah, there's not many on my dorm floor. Maybe not. But hey, can't there be one? See, Brother Judah, there's not many on my bus route. I understand that. But there can be one. Brother Judah, my family, I'm here at Hiles Anderson, and my family's a mess. My mom and dad and my brothers and sisters, there's not many of us left, Brother Judah. I'm sorry, but there can be one. There can and there should be one. It's not going to be easy. You might have some deep sorrow. Friend, put some daily service in your life. Get close to Jesus. Is it too fleshly to say, let's do something notable? Why do we have to just live and die and fade off? No. Let's do something notable. She got to hold him. She told everybody about him. There was one, and there could still be one today.